What a missed opportunity it was 2 Sundays ago, the 5th of November. What a chance to build a sermon around the dramatic story of Guido Fox and his ghastly gunpowder plot. But in Geneva, who would know? It would be like using the Escalade as an illustration in Aberdeen, just blank looks. But today, perhaps, we could unpack the implications, reflect on the lessons to be learned, mine the meaning of that fateful event, a day remembered with burning effigies and huge fireworks displays, a night when cats, dogs and budges, mule and whimper and bonfire toffee is on the menu. On such a night, as Guy Fawkes Night explodes in a cacophony of rockets, whiz-bangs and Catherine wheels. I do sometimes wonder what tourists make of it, or newcomers to the British way of life, as they watch the burning guys and the remembering the 5th of Novembering. Where was the gunpowder? Whose was the treason? And what was the plot? What did it mean? And isn't it a bit odd, all these years later, to make such a fuss about what was in reality a terrible event involving would-be mass murder, religious intolerance, torture, execution and shame? Ironically, the issues that underlay the outrage are still with us. Questions of dealing with diversity, coping with prejudices, issues and extents of religious tolerance are very much to the fore in our 21st century world, indeed with an intensity and potential for disaster greater than I've ever experienced in my whole lifetime. Anyone who fails to see the powerful force that religion exerts across our world now, today, demonstrates a dangerous naivety. The potential for upheaval in the world if we don't deal with the challenges of religious diversity is incalculable. How we deal with it will shape the destinies of my children and your children. So we need to think about it, find a way of understanding it and coping with it. And we need to begin by acknowledging that there are real and deep differences between the religions of the world. There might be superficial similarities that could deceive us into thinking they were all coming from the same place and taking us to the same place. World religions do have common elements. They have sacred books, they have places of worship, they have revered leaders, they have ancient teachings, they have lifestyle choices, they have rituals and regulations, they have special days and sacred seasons. But they also have unbridgeable differences that are fundamental and huge, and it's folly to try to airbrush those out of the real picture. We are not all saying the same things about life, the universe and everything. We might wish we were, but it is not so. However, if we can't deny the realities of that diversity, nor should we can embrace the differences and allow them to be in a spirit of respect and tolerance, in a generous, gracious spirit of debate and discussion and reason from which all arrogance and aggression are absent. Historically, this has not been an easy approach to achieve. Instead, there has been suspicion, ignorance and disrespect, leading to just the kinds of outcomes that hang over the world with threat and danger. And the resort to violence a la Guy Fawkes has always been an option for those who want to establish their style of faith as the only option. But the bottom line missed so dramatically, completely and tragically by Guy Fawkes and his cronies and by all those who are willing to hurt in the name of religion is this. The resort to violence of action or word in order to win the day for your point of view has no place in our modern Christ-informed Christianity. It would be good to think that we can see more clearly now, thank God. That we would just know that it was wrong to persecute, torture, burn and brutalise in the name of Christ. The kinds of indiscriminate killings that happened during religious persecutions various, the suspicions and the caricatures that mocked the notion of Christian unity. Gunpowder plots and the like, we know now they have no place. And there is no place in the 21st century church for such things. And we're blessed to enjoy that liberty from the chains of ignorance and distortion. It would be good to think that we've learned something, that we can now see the appalling irony, the glaring contradictions that are inherent in the idea that violence, murder, carnage, persecution might be done in the name of religion, most especially the religion of Jesus of Nazareth, the Prince of Peace, who will die rather than fight, who will suffer himself rather than hurt others, who washes feet, who turns the other cheek, who prays for those who hurt him, who loves his enemies. Come on! To do violence against others in his name, in that name, above all names, is a denial and betrayal of everything he is about. It just doesn't fit. Love your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. This word of Christ is the complete and utter contradiction of the cynical self-regard that often seems to underpin the way the world works, where political expediency, power, corruption, ruthlessness, untruth and violence, these methods and means are all but legitimised as being cogs and wheels necessary to make the world go round. The ideal of love is the antithesis of the ideologies of cynicism and power. The vulnerability that Christ embraced on the cross is the divine contradiction of how the world thinks you get things done, how the world gets its way. Our faith is in an Easter faith, in an Easter Lord, whose love triumphs over hate and quietly conquers the world without force or imposition or threat or bullying. He knocks gently on the door of the human heart, on the heart of every man and every woman, and waits to be invited in. His way, what looks like weakness, is really strength. What seems like folly is really glory.